Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are, I think, according to that clock, a minute or so late. Let's go and have a word of prayer, and then we'll go into this session here this afternoon. Can you all stay awake? You promise? Let's all raise our right hands. I will not give in to my flesh. Hey, I knew there were a stash of candy bars underneath the pulpit. I should have brought those for this class. That got you on the right side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Lord, this is so needed, and just for the fellowship alone. But Lord, we get so blessed and so spoiled and just wonderfully fed. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, there'll be the same thing for this session. And Lord, we'll take it the way we need to take it, in a personal way. Lord, we'll be very receptive to what you're trying to awaken our brains to and stir our hearts up with. So Lord, help me as I present these truths. And Lord, we just praise you again for the opportunity of hearing more of what pleases you and how we can really apply that in our everyday life and living. So we thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I love being in this chapel area because I've been coming here since the early 90s, back in the golden oldie days when this was the main spot. And we were excited if anybody showed up back in, weren't we, Mrs. Pastor? Yeah, but this is so exciting to watch this ministry grow and just to see the obvious working of God's hand upon this ministry. And I just rejoice in the opportunity of being with this people. Can I describe the people of this church with one word? Ornery. I mean, oh, I got a second word. Mouthy. Yeah, I know. Don't point, sir, because the other ones are pointing back at yourself. Yeah, that's right. But this is just a fun church to come and do a revival meeting with and for. When I first started coming, they didn't quite put me up in the fancy places they do now. They had a makeshift prophet's chamber in the hallway, but the problem was I had to walk from there all the way to the gymnasium to get a shower, and I had to put clothes on sometimes. And so they've improved their hospitality immensely over the years. Of course, more bodies, more buckaroos, more hospitality. Hotel opportunities. So that works that way, and I get it. But I'm thankful for this time. For those that are new, I'm Evangelist Mike Maynard. I've been an evangelist like 35 years plus now. Before that, I was a church planter down in Portland, Indiana. That's just an hour directly south of Fort Wayne. I grew up around Muncie, Indiana. Hoosier Hick, homebred folks. I know how to communicate to you people. So I'm very familiar with Indiana and love the people I've grown up and with and around. And again, thankful to be back here. I live now in South Carolina. So if you don't understand some of my slang and slurs, just look at the back of your pamphlet and maybe that'll give you the answer to all that needs to be again addressed. Now, as you see, we're talking about, hey, if you'd only asked. What is that all about? Well, as I mentioned, I've been in evangelism for 35 years, 5.5 years as a church planter. And I tell you what, being a pastor is the hardest job I've ever sought to be a part of, ever, anytime. It's the most thankless job I've ever been a part of. But for 40 years of ministry, very rarely have I had people ask me this question. Do you see anything in my ministry where I could do better? Mm-hmm. One of the first ones I remember very, very obviously, I was out in Kansas City, and I'm preaching at a rather large Get It Done ministry, as I express here in my notes. And I knew the guy. We'd been friends. We were in school together, Bob Jones and all that sort of stuff. But he asked me a question. I was kind of flattered, but I was kind of taken back a bit and humbled. He said, do you see anything in this ministry that we need to do better, that we need to tighten up or whatever? And I kind of backed up and I thought through that. I said, you know, I'm not here long enough to know all the operation, but the areas that I see need to be more fine-tuned or a little better, you're already doing those. But why was that a get it done ministry? Because this guy was always, always looking to improve. Now, I'm telling you, he's older than I am. He's almost dead like I am. But you know what? He's still looking to improve. Folks, when does that stop? When you're in the presence of Jesus. Yes. We're supposed to be every day more like our Jesus. Be more like Him to do more for Him. So in turn, we can get an attaboy and sign Bibles till our arm falls off. No. So we can give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Folks, we improve not just for, again, accolades or applause. We improve so we can more clearly, and as you'll see in the notes, more effectively present Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now, I did something for this lesson I've never done, and I had to put it in here. You don't have to read through all that. I'll give you a brief synopsis. When I started studying on this, I had page after page of notes. How does a guy, or should a guy or girl, prepare for a lesson to present? Well, you read scripture, you read commentaries, you do word studies. And for me, if it's a topic I'm not familiar with, I'll listen to a few sermons here. I want to know how to communicate it in a better way. Well, I have enough to fill 5 sessions at this point. And I thought, I'm just not at peace. I just don't have really confidence this is the way or what needs to be presented in this particular session. So I did something I've not done before. I started asking AI. Yeah. Now, I did. I got on Google and I posed several questions on why don't people choose to get better at ministry? You know, things like that. And I did like 2 or 3 different searches in that area. And I'm going, man, this is gooder than I could ever come up with in my brain. In the phraseology. Now, let me say this. AI can be your enemy. I'm telling you right now, because it will look to indoctrinate you according to where it got its information. Yeah. So in the midst of this, you must be very, very, very careful that, again, it matches up with thus saith the Lord. Right. But I can see a lot of folks getting lazier than a bedbug with AI, because it could just do your whole sermon outline for you before you can go play golf 3 times a week now instead of just the 2 you're doing, or again be lackadaisical, not really as deep in study and preparation as you need to be. I mentioned in the last session, you know where that used to go to in the old days when I was first a Christian? They'd go to the Sword of the Lord. And that was always the funny, wasn't it? Where'd you get that from, the Sword of the Lord? Now, they never admitted it, but yes, they did, okay? And they kind of took the shortcut of life. I wasn't trying to take a shortcut of life. I already had done the work. But I always, in my study, if I get a quote, I try to give where the quote comes from, if I know where it comes from. I get an outline. I try to give credit to whom credit is due. So I've never said this, but I've got to give credit to AI review on Google. I'm just telling you that right now. And I just feel like I need to do that. Now, what I'm going to do, as you see in my notes, I'm going to start with the conclusion of what I saw or I read or, again, I found out here. And folks, this is incredible. Look down with me and follow along as I read. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it all anyway. So asking, do you see anything in my ministry that I could improve? Now, it is a courageous, that's the first word, a courageous and necessary, 2 big words, not a maybe, but a must, folks. But you got, again, man up here. Realize I don't know everything. I need help. You know how hard that is for a guy that's as old as I am? I've been there and I've done that. I'm the answer king. For 72 years, I've been fixing whatever's broken in anybody's life. I even try to straighten out pastors. And you guys know how hard that is. You know, that's been my whole ministry. You know, it is true in evangelism. My best friends are pastors. But the ones I minister to the most is the pastor. You know, I come alongside to be an Aaron and a Hur. I mean, when John started this ministry here, he didn't have a clue what he was doing, did he? Yeah, he was a rookie as rookie, but he's learned some good stuff, hadn't he? And he's improved every day because he looked to improve, folks. Of course, when you've got a Mary Poppins wife who's, you know, near perfect in all her ways, that does help you improve ministry endeavors. I hope they got that on the recording, okay? You know what I'm saying? But folks, listen to me. You've got to man up here in a right way, man, woman, and child. Be courageous and understand that's a necessary question for any servant of God. Because here's what happens. It demonstrates humility, and something we don't like is coming next. It invites accountability. How dare you check up on me? Folks, we need checked up on. That's why you need the local church. It's a place of accountability. That's why a lot of folks don't like to stay there and get that involved. Someone, again, making sure I'm being and doing what I'm supposed to be being and doing. But folks, we all are weak sisters as far as consistency is concerned. We need accountability from God's people and the local church. It invites accountability and opens the door for genuine, here are two words, effective growth. Genuine, effective growth. So as you prayerfully engage in this process, remember that it is God who gives the increase, underscore, asterisk, whatever. It's God who gives the increase. Your part is to be faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. Always seeking to align your service with His perfect will. And that kind of sums up what's going on as we look on how to get there. You see what should end up as far as your decision, who you are, what you do in your ministry endeavors. But again, how do you get there? And I guess more importantly, how do you stay there? So again, you get things done in a way, as Brother John's already preached, to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the necessity of honest feedback. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. You're going to note these are very familiar verses that I think we know in too much of a familiar fashion sometimes. And we don't apply them or take them to the depth and degree they need to be received and implemented. Listen to this. The way the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs chapter 1, boy, just park on the first 7 verses or so. Talk about conviction and a kick in the teeth to a pride-filled life. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's the blank underneath that. The danger of unchecked pride. It's an unwillingness to receive correction. It's a sign of spiritual pride. And without input, it's possible to become blind to one's own flaws and develop blind spots in ministry. Now, one of the most obvious stories, we're going to take time to do this because I just love preaching from this passage. Go with me to 1 Samuel and go to chapter 13, would you please? Of course, we're dealing with Saul and he had a peck of problems, didn't he? I mean, there's all kinds of things he dealt with, but a big problem he faced and never got the victory over was this stuff called pride. Now, I want to read these verses real quick here. For time's sake, we need to keep moving. But again, go with me to 1 Samuel. I think that's the right passage. Look down with me. Let's start reading. Let's see, for time's sake, don't want to do all this. Let me start verse 8. You keep turning. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me and the peace offering. And he offered the burnt offerings. Well, it came to pass as soon as he had made, I can't see because I haven't got enough light here. He hath made no end of the offering, burnt offering. Behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel says, what in the world are you thinking, boy? He says, what hast thou done? Now, folks, have you ever, this is for the pastors, you ever been in a meeting with your deacons and they say, somebody just needs to do something? You know, taking, again, out of position and responsibility what they should be doing. They're a leader. They got the brains. But do they have the understanding of biblical authority and position? Are they stepping outside what is their job to do? How many churches and ministry have been blown up from the inside out because of that pride-filled, unbiblical choice? A lot more than we had to talk about as far as illustration is concerned. But he gives a reminder and a rebuke here. He says, what hast thou done? And Saul said, well, because of Saul the people. You know what's happening here? A sin we need to preach on harder, men. Teach more. Blame shifting. What's he do? Threefold blame shifting. And Saul said, well, because I saw the people. You know those people, we've had trouble with them all along the trip, wherever we've been. What? Sound familiar, Pastor? I'd be a better pastor if it wasn't for those people. I'd be, you're blame shifting. Then he blames the enemy. He says, I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed. Who's he kicking the teeth in here? The preacher. Well, if you would have been here on time, I wouldn't have had to force myself to do this thing that's not mine to do. Somebody again had to do something. And then the enemy, the Philistines. And the Philistines gathered themselves together. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. Here it is. Therefore, I forced myself. Can you see the theatrical moment here? I know it was wrong, but I, look at me, folks, I forced myself. Oh, brother. No, he gave into the flesh. He went around biblical instruction. He did not do right. And he took again actions that weren't his to be set forth. He said, therefore, I forced myself thereof and offered a burnt offering. Well, there are consequences to your unbiblical choosing, whoever you are. And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, because that's David. He made some flesh choices too, didn't he? And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. What was that? Unchecked pride. I'm the leader. I'm taller than everybody else. I'm one handsome specimen of mankind. And I think I can handle this, maybe even better than God instructs me. You know, there's some pastors I've met like that. Now, they wouldn't admit that or say that out loud, but that's exactly the worthless testimony they show forth, all in the name of doing ministry and bringing glory and honor to God. So again, big necessity of feedback. You need to deal with unchecked pride. Here's another one. The benefit of multiple counselors. The benefit of multiple counselors. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Now, folks, pretty simple here. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Again, this brings safeguard against foolish decisions like we see with Saul. And it offers a more balanced perspective of the work that God has entrusted unto you. So let's next talk about, I got to keep going here, the posture of humility. How about 1 Peter 5:5? Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, clothed in humility. We got this memorized, don't we? For God resisteth, say it with me, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Teenagers, we have some near perfect teenagers in this room. I mean, they have all the answers to life, and they don't even know what the question is, but they know. I know, you don't have a clue, okay? We know more than you do, and we're still guessing. Are you with me here? But teenagers, you don't know, but you could. If you get off your young high horse and keep learning and improving on a daily basis, guess what? If you listen to that counsel, that instruction, maybe you won't crash into that wall or mess up this or, again, show forth that. Again, folks, we've got to be so careful. This is for my teenage brethren and sisters. I was going to say sisters, but that doesn't sound good, does it? My brothers and sisters here, listen carefully. Humility is the first step toward learning. You cannot learn until you're humble enough. Teenagers, ding, 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 ding. You can't learn until you're humble enough to realize there's something to learn. Boy, what an example we can learn if we just read our Bible. You know, Brother John went to Philippians chapter 2. And of course, we know, how many love the book of Philippians? Raise your hand and shout hallelujah. I mean, talk about a book of an encouragement, but also instruction on how folks just to get it done to please and honor God. But that involves ministering unto others efficiently and effectively, which means you're doing it God's way. So in Philippians chapter 2, of course, verses 3 through 8, as I mentioned here, is the example that Jesus sets forth. The ultimate example of humility, who did not act out of selfish ambition, but in service unto others. And boy, is this the conference or is this the conference? To bring glory to our God.
Yes.
Doesn't Christian mean Christ-like? And if we're doing it God's way, aren't we supposed to manifest who Jesus is?
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're stuck on yourself.
Right.
You can't do that if you won't humble yourself and realize, in comparison to God, I don't have a clue. And understand, I don't care how much you study. I don't care how many little things you have behind your name, PhD, XYZ, BQ. That sounds like a gay thing, doesn't it? LBQYZX thing. I don't mean to go there, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever those letters are behind your name, make sure you don't get the big head. Make sure you don't think more of yourself than you ought. And folks, that's a battle for all of us because we love ourselves a lot, don't we? And, you know, if I didn't think it was right, I wouldn't be doing it. But possibly, teenager, are you ready for this? You could be wrong, bless your heart. Yeah. And pastor, guess what? You haven't arrived either. Sunday school teacher. But I'm a deacon of the assembly. Well, again, bless your heart. You still need to grow. And you're not going to grow unless you choose to humble yourself before a holy God and allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life what the Holy Spirit's there to do. He's there to illumine your mind. He's there to bring understanding. I have, in my ministry over these years, been with some of the most smart, well-studied students of the Word of God that I've ever met in my life. But a lot of those are no longer in ministry. They got full of themselves. They got into immorality or embezzlement or whatever the case may be. They just again thought it's okay, even though they know better. No, folks, sin is sin.
Right.
But you don't just preach it. You demonstrate the righteousness of Jesus Christ and get over yourself. Yeah, you're smarter than most people, but you're still not as smart as God. And will you humble yourself and admit that? And be what God says we all need to be. And that's learning more every single day. So here we go. The process, that's the word right there. The process of asking and receiving feedback. This is you know, in every message there's an ouch part. Said, my toes hurt already since we started. Well, praise the Lord. But you know what? This is a major ouch situation and point. Let me read some verses here. In Proverbs 27 and verse 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. How about this one? We heard this quoted, but is it applied in a right way? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. I was in a situation, I was at a Christian college, a rather large Christian school. They ain't that large anymore, but they were way back then. And I was getting ready to do the opening services. And I had one of the faculty members of high upstanding thoughts of themselves came to me and started ripping me up one side and down the other. I said something that was, maybe it wasn't the, you know, I didn't get saved, guys, until I was 22. I was a barroom bum. And some of the phraseology or maybe some words that you just freak out about, I don't think that way, you know. It doesn't freak me out. It was just normal family conversation or, again, a part of my old life that I maybe hadn't cleaned up as good as I needed to. But I'd said something, and this guy, it flipped his bonnet. And you know what I did? He used this verse, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, brother." I said, "My friends don't talk to me this way." He was assuming, this is great, preachers, write this down. He was assuming, he was accusing, but he never asked. You hear me? Is that that'll preach, won't it? He assumed I was immoral. He accused me of being immoral. But he never asked me, "Maynard, are you in sin?" No, I just, you know how to answer? No, I'm just stupid, okay? Maybe I spoke inappropriately. But he went for the throat, and again, in a heartless fashion, I'm telling you, I've never been so verbally abused like this godly guy, and if I mentioned his name, it'd blow you guys' minds. But you know what? He assumed, he accused, he never asked. You know what that is? That doing it right is love and knowledge. But if you do knowledge without love, what happens? You don't have real good sense. Your judgment is faltered. And that's what happened with him. Yeah, he came on me like an educated wonder, but he didn't treat me like a friend. He treated me like a student. I was the same guy. We're the same age. You with me? And again, when it happened, I was staff evangelist at Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis. I did that for 20 years with Bob Taylor. And I went to him. I said, "What do I do with this guy?" I was a nervous wreck. He says, "Write him a thank you note and send him a crate of oranges." I said, "What?" He says, "When I was at Pensacola Christian College, this happened to me all the time. Educated people who weren't real good at personal ministry would come and out of order rebuke me, try to straighten me out, and I always tried to respond as gracious could be." And that's really what comes here, folks. I tried to take it with learning and, again, help, because I'm about ready to preach to 10,000 people, okay? And I was already a nervous wreck anyway. This didn't help the matter, other than it drove me more to my knees looking unto Jesus. But let me get this point, because I'll get sidetracked here. The first, now when we come below that verse, it's the word who. Who you ask. Be intentional about who you seek counsel from. I don't go to some bozo brain, unfaithful loser of a human being to, again, ask, how can I be more faithful to Jesus? I have my inner circle, and you need one of those. People that will help you deal with the tough stuff. You know, I feel sorry for some pastors that don't have that kind of friendship or relationship with other preachers. Some guy that loves them enough to kick them in the spiritual, you know what? And again, face them with what they need to hear, so again, they can be what they're called to be in a biblical, fruitful manner. So again, the inner circle should be close confidants who know you well and have, listen to this, your best interest at heart. Even if it means speaking uncomfortable truths, it's also valuable to seek out a feedback from trusted, blunt advisor. Those are evangelists, okay? Yeah, they're, pastors go, No, evangelists, they think people actually want to have an answer to their question. You know, I found that's not always the case, boys and girls. But again, trusted, blunt advisors others that experience ministry. But here's the ouch part. How? How to receive maybe something you're not real excited to hear. When you receive feedback, listen without being defensive. Put them up. I'll fight you with my left hand. I'll fight you with my put them up. Don't we do that sometimes? And here you are. Well, didn't Saul do that? Well, you weren't here, preacher. You know, the people, they've been a bunch of rebellious wretches since we've been trying to minister to these people. You know, don't you know they're breathing down our necks like a herd of turtles now, and somebody's got to do something. Well, you know what? That's never excuse to do wrong. Yeah. It's never right to do wrong, what? In order to do right. We quote it, but we don't practice it well. Yeah. Never right to do wrong in order to do right. It always must align up with the truths of the Word of God. Now, I thought Cindy would catch this, okay? But no, she let me down. I don't have a secretary. I've never seen her make a mistake in her life, but I make them all the time. I don't have a wife that is my secretary. I had to do all this on my own, okay? And I left out two blanks in this. You can put it back in your key. The rest of the people will have to figure it out. Let me read this. This can be difficult, but it's a mark of maturity. Express thankfulness. You may not be real happy as a camper, or that juncture where you got your pride wounded, your feelings hurt. You may not be in a right mindset of thanksgiving, but it's still the right response. Well, pastor came to me and he just told me that I wasn't biblical. I wasn't. Oh, grow up, okay? If you're wrong, you're wrong. You need help, you need help. Now, I understand some folks could be a little more sensitive, maybe a little come around the barn in the discussion to understand how tender and fragile you may be, but stop being so tender and fragile. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and excusing yourself from improving your ministry before you. Well, they hurt my feelings. Okay, so you be carnal. Well, I don't like what they told me. Well, maybe it's because you think more of you than you do pleasing Jesus. Maybe it's because, again, you're running a show that does not belong to you. You know, it's still whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you're doing. You're here to do all to the glory of God. So here's number four, and we'll get done here and we'll maybe give some helpful hints here as far as some questions. The purpose of refining our ministry. Now listen, I've been parking hard on pastors. So, you know what? This is for every person that professes to know my Jesus. You listening carefully, teenager? I don't care if you're 15 or 450. Jesus saved you and called you with a holy calling. We're all here as ministers of God. Maybe different capacities, you know, different responsibilities. As Pastor Wilkson said, different platforms. But we all have a platform. And we all have opportunity to do things God's way if we'll just humble ourselves and get out of the way and let God do what only He can do. The purpose of refining our ministry. All right, here's the passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Now, didn't I just say nobody's, yeah. What is perfect? You're skillful. You know what you're talking about because you've humbled yourself before a holy God and you're searching the Scriptures daily. You're studying to show yourselves approved unto God. What messes up the ministry quicker than anything? You stop reading your Bible. You don't really search the Scriptures daily. You do it by schedule convenience. Folks, if I see a common problem in every church I've preached in for the past 40 years, people don't study the Word of God. They rely on their past education. or what they learned 30 years ago. Well, it's time for a refresher. And that refreshing is to take place every single day, period. And no wonder we're so shallow. No wonder we're not improving because we don't think we need. What is that again? Stinking, rotten pride. So the next thing here, and I got to go, I'll run out of time. Effective communication. Effective communication. Seeking feedback on preaching or teaching. Again, an example to ensure the gospel is communicated. Here's the word, clearly and compelling as possible. The goal is not self-improvement, but we always need to improve. Y'all with me on this? Not self-improvement. Let me finish the statement. For one's own sake, but becoming a more effective instrument. That's what needs to go in that blank. Effective instrument in God's hand. And like we started, so we're in alignment with God's will. Ultimately, the person of asking for feedback is to ensure our ministry aligns with God's will and brings glory and honor to His name. We've quoted it. We've set it forth. It's not for an attaboy. It's not, boy. You know, let me say this before I forget. You know why a lot of folks ask for help in learning more? Here's what they really want. Come on, this may expose you a little bit. Here's what you want. You want to hear something. You know what? You're like the greatest teacher I've ever known. How can a man of your looks and your brilliance improve in any way? And you're kind of going, yeah. You did a little Barney Fife thing. You with me here? You know, you kind of puff yourself up and you think, oh man, I'm like the best lawman that's ever lived on the planet. And all you're really asking is personal attention. Or again, personal, ain't I good? Accolades. Folks, that's not why we're here. It's not your agenda. It's not for a personal legacy, okay? No, John is a great pastor. And you know what? He'll be remembered for that for at least 2 years after he's dead. And nobody will remember his name. But you know what? He's not here to build a personal legacy. He's here to build the body of Christ, to glorify and honor God. That's why God's honored him so much. I hope that's my ministry. I know I'm the best looking evangelist. They're all kind of ugly. I mean, we are handsome creatures here, the most spiritual two people in the room with that head. Yeah, right. You know, I sing and dance. I do all that sort of stuff. Spiritual dance, of course. That's what I had. Funky chicken for Jesus. No, I don't know. But you know what? I don't care how good I do whatever I'm doing. I want to make sure I use that as a vehicle to again bring people's attention unto Jesus. That's my heart burden. I go into a local church so this local church will keep on keeping on for Jesus. I shared this in the last session. We just got done celebrating our 65th birthday of the church since it's been founded. Two college kids started the church. And it's been going for 65 years. And the pastor, my pastor, has been there 40 years. Can I have a wow from the crowd? That's amazing, people. The average pastor only lasts about 7 weeks. I mean, 7 years. A lot of them want to quit after 7 weeks. But you know what? 7 years is, I guess, the average stay for a pastor. No, I thought it was two. Yeah, that depends on which AI you which AI you notify. But listen, why shouldn't they be there 40 years? Well, carnality, laziness, you know, sin, whatever the case may be. But isn't the goal to keep on keeping on? To press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't want to end like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I didn't throw in the towel. I stayed by the stuff. I trusted in God's power, God's wherewithal. I kept on keeping on, not because of me, because of Christ liveth in me. And I don't care what ministry you're involved with now or what God blesses you with. It's all in spite of us. You hear me? God uses us not because of us, people. In spite of us. Yeah. But he just waiting for us to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Why is the guy only last 2 years? Because he gets tired of being a part of a volunteer organization in which very few folks volunteer. And the ones that are there, they're like a, you know, petrified stone, and they just wonder why the church is not growing. Pride, apathy, complacency. Sin, folks, are not in the book. They're on their knees. They're not doing things God's way. Go back with me to the start. Let me read this again for you. Again, this is where we started. This is, I guess, where we need to finish up. Do you see anything in my ministry that I could improve? It is a courageous and necessary question for any servant of God. It demonstrates humility. It invites accountability. And it opens the door to genuine, effective growth. And as you prayerfully engage in this process, remember that it is God who gives the increase, and your part is to be, here are the three words, faithful, available, and teachable. Now I park on that again because we got some kids who are making a decision to go make buckaroos or to make disciples.
Yeah,
you are.
Come on.
And it's so hard to break free from the buckaroos and trust and obey God. You know, when I got into ministry, folks, guess what? I had my own car dealership. I did. Dad wanted to go preach. And we had a Ford franchise up in Dunkirk, Indiana. And I was 25 years old. He says, son, it's all yours. Make it or break it. Just support dear old dad in his ministry endeavors. Well, dumb me, I went on a missionary trip. Oh, yeah, this guy preached on Elijah and Elisha, you know, and he said, and the guy preaching the message says, Maynard, that sounds like you. This guy's got money, he's got servants, but God's called him to this kind of ministry. He didn't already know us white knuckling the pew. Folks, I'm telling you now, after all these years, I wish I'd have said yes sooner. I wish I wouldn't have white knuckled the pew. Again, worried about what I am, what I can do, instead of, hey, God, you ordered up, boom, here am I, Lord, send me. But folks, once we get in there, you got to keep that dependency. You must daily keep growing and knowing and showing and flowing and going forward in faithfulness to do more and to do better. Well, I had the opportunity in this anniversary celebration on Wednesday night. You know, the hardest thing, preachers are going to laugh at this. Don't you hate being the number five preacher in a conference and it's the same topic every night? That was me last week celebrating this. It was all on faithfulness of this ministry and the pastor. I didn't have the message I was going to preach till the number four preacher was halfway through his message. And then God went ding, ding, ding. Here's the way you need to close it out. And you know what I did? I used Philippians chapter 1. Now listen to this. This is so good. You can read this later on. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul's saying, you know what? You guys are doing a great job. I'm thankful for you. But here's how you can even do it better. Here's how you can keep on doing what you're doing, but getting better and more faithful every day. Then he goes on to list the things of necessity, folks, for any minister of God to make sure they're getting things done God's way. And I hope it stirred you enough to go home and read that later on. And again, make those truths as your very own. Verses 9 through 11, conviction city, but great responsibility of fulfilling faithfully, without apology, the ministry that God has entrusted unto you. Now, look back at the notes at the bottom here. I gave you some bonus quotes here. I'm just going to read two of them, two of my favorites. And they're all really good. Probably the most familiar is the first one. The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. You know, I have that applied to churches and whatever. But look down at this guy named Jackie Stewart. Does anybody remember him? He's a little short guy. But he was a race car driver. He said it this way. It's not always possible. You listen to a teenager. It's not always possible to be the best, but it is possible, it is always possible to improve your own performance. I like that, don't you? Yeah, I'm not a Michael Jordan of preaching endeavor. Praise the Lord. The great whatever, Steph Curry, whatever. Guys just above and beyond the average of what they do. But you know what? Tomorrow I can be better than I am today. And God wants to improve me. But guess what, boys and girls? He also wants to improve you. But I like the last quote. I don't even know who this guy is. I just found this and thought it was good. It says, be patient with yourself. Perfection comes not in this life, but in the next life. This will save you a lot of grief. Don't demand things that are unreasonable, but here's what you should do. But demand of yourself improvement. And as you let the Lord help you through that, He will make the difference. So have compassion, making a difference. That's only possible as you avail yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and His power and working. And again, just simply say, whether I'm eating or I'm drinking or whatsoever I'm doing, I'm here to do all to the glory of God. Any questions or comments as we close this session out? What time is it supposed to be done? Pretty soon? Yes, sir, brother.
My great father-in-law used to say...
Can you hear him back there?
My father-in-law used to say, self-praise stinks. A lot of truth to that.
Oh, yeah, it does. I had some guy talk to me the other day, and his breath didn't smell real good either. I was telling somebody walking through the church, how come people with the worst breath talk to you closer than any other human being? I mean, folks, he could have killed the person before they accepted Jesus. Are you with me here? So hygiene, people, is a wonderful tool for ministry endeavors. Any other questions or comments here? Thank you for listening so attentively. Let's bow our heads and hearts and rejoice in God's goodness to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for just being so simple and clear on how this all works. But Lord, we seem to make it more difficult than it needs to be. Lord, we just need to get saved. We need to let You be the Lord, the boss, the controller of our lives. And then, Lord, get in the instruction manual and stay in the instruction manual. And daily, Lord, let You instruct us and guide us. And You promise You'll do that. You'll let the Word be a light into our path, a guide to where we need to be, how to do it, and all that stuff. We just serve such a wonderful God. And God, I pray You'll keep helping us be sensible. And again, our responsibilities for You. And Lord, we won't throw in the towel and give in to the flesh. But we'll, again, just keep on keeping on. Not just to produce fruit, but do what You're after, to produce much fruit. Lord, we love You. We thank You and praise You for this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.